The grace and peace of Jesus, the shepherd and overseer of our souls, abide with you all. Amen. Our text on this Good Shepherd Sunday is found recorded in the Good Shepherd chapter, John 10, reading there in verses 27 and 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So far the text. In the name of Jesus, dear Christian friends, it is no accident that Good Shepherd Sunday falls during the Easter season. When you think about it, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? During the 7-week-long season of Easter, which stretches from Easter Sunday to Pentecost, the church remembers in a special way that the Jesus who was delivered over to death for our transgressions was raised to life for our justification. And so too on Good Shepherd Sunday, the fourth in the Easter season, we remember in a special way that he is our living shepherd. What meaning would Psalm 23 have to any one of us if Jesus' body were still lying in a grave somewhere? But it's not. He arose and therefore is well able to do for us all the things that David describes in the Shepherd's Psalm. This morning I want to give attention to this beautiful name of Jesus, the beautiful picture of Holy Scripture, which has been for countless Christians down through the centuries a source of wonderful comfort, spiritual refreshment, and strength. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and we, his sheep. I discuss first of all the Good Shepherd's description of his sheep, and then the comforting promise he gives to each one of his sheep. So one key characteristic that Jesus uses or describes or ascribes to his sheep, that is all who own him by faith as their Lord and Savior, he says they listen to my voice. Question might come, well, how does Jesus speak to us? And how do we hear his voice sounding forth? Well, not from the sky, not from the wonders of nature, the mountains and the trees and such, not from within our own hearts, but as you well know, from the pages of Holy Scripture. We hear the Lord's voice speaking to us every Sunday in the preaching of God's Word at church, and in Bible classes, in devotions that you parents share with your children at home, in Sunday school classes where teachers present the truths of the gospel to their pupils. It's Jesus, our loving shepherd, speaking to us. Even as he once told his disciples before sending them out on a mission tour to share his words with the people living in various villages of Palestine, when he said, he who listens to you listens to me. Of course, when Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice, he wasn't talking about listening to him only in an outward way. Here we might think of all those in the audience when Jesus delivered his sermons and discourses we read about in the Gospels or the parables that he presented. Or when he taught God's word in their synagogues, they listened with their ears but not with their hearts. This is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he gives to us as his sheep. He gives it the amazing ability to hear and then mark and learn and inwardly or spiritually digest. We've been given the ability to identify with what the psalmist said who wrote, Lord, I love your commands more than gold, more than much pure gold. We're also blessed as Jesus' sheep with the ability, as we listen, to distinguish our shepherd's voice from the voice of strangers. We have, the Lord gives us, the Holy Spirit gives us sharp hearing because we know that Jesus as our Savior, we trust in Him for every blessing, and therefore we run from strangers. We do not listen to false shepherds or false teachers. You may have heard the story of the traveler in the Holy Land. Happened upon a group of sheep who were grazing on the hillside, and it was evening time when the shepherds would lead their flocks back home, and there were three different shepherds who called out to the sheep of their particular flock, and the sheep immediately separated and followed their particular shepherd. The traveler remarked to one of the shepherds, "How do they do that? That's amazing." He said, "Well, sheep are pretty stupid animals. A lot of different ways. They can't find green pasture on their own. They can't sense water from a distance like a lot of other animals can do. They're prone to wander off and get themselves lost quite easily. But they've got the uncanny ability to recognize the voice of their shepherd." Something else Jesus says about his sheep, he describes them. He says, "I know them." What a comforting truth that also is, to think about how Jesus knows each one of his believers personally, intimately. He knows you with an indescribably tender love and all of your daily needs and worries. Your good shepherd knows you. He knows you when you come to him in your daily devotions to find comfort and direction from his word of grace, and when you offer prayers to him for help in time of need. He knows you when you approach his altar to receive his body and blood in the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of your sins. The Bible also teaches the amazing truth, this is another remarkable thing, that the Lord knew you and chose you to be his even before the world existed. Paul the Apostle, in writing to the members of Christ's flock at Thessalonica, said, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning he chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth." And in his letter to the Ephesian flock, Paul wrote, "God chose you in Christ before the creation of the world. In love, he predestined you to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his good pleasure and will." Now, another description that Jesus gives of his sheep, he says, they follow me. So they go where their shepherd leads them, guided by the rod and the staff of his word, because they know, we know, don't we, as Christians, as sheep of Christ, that the Lord will never lead us into dangerous territory or in an unreliable or unsafe way, but always to the still waters and the green pastures. We follow him also by putting to death what belongs to our sin natures, things like evil desires, greed, worldly mindedness, fleeing from such things, and by adding to our faith, pursuing such things as goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, brotherly kindness, and love. Ever keeping before our mind's eye that lovely picture of Scripture of our meek, holy, and humble, faithful shepherd who once said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So that's the wonderful description that Jesus gives of his every one of his sheep. Now let's consider the comforting promise that Jesus gives to his sheep as he speaks here in our text. He says, first of all, I give them eternal life. Of course, that's something he made possible by the giving up of his own life on the cross, even as he said earlier in this same chapter, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. And we do well also, dear friends, to consider the verb tense that Jesus uses here. He says, I give them eternal life. He doesn't use the future tense, like, I will give my sheep eternal life at some point in the future, as though that was kind of a vague and uncertain gift that he might give us at some point later on in time, or maybe not. He says, I give them eternal life. So in all the needs and cares of our lives right now, in every storm of affliction that we run into in our lives, we're blessed to have in our possession right now all the treasures of his grace, which he obtained for us by the shedding of his blood. Paul wrote to those Ephesian Christians, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, and in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace. You can think of these blessings in Christ that you already have as sheep of the Good Shepherd as links in a chain. If you have forgiveness, you have life and salvation that Christ obtained for you. So whenever you hear the gospel, you can remember that. Or when you partake of Holy Communion, you're getting a foretaste of the blessedness that is already yours, that you will enjoy to the full when your Good Shepherd returns. Yeah, it's true, we're still subject, aren't we, to sorrows, and indeed also temporal death. We have to pass through, like David said in the Shepherd's Psalm, through the valley of the shadow, but it's just a shadow, something temporary. Christians, even in death, don't really die because they have in their possession that life which the Good Shepherd has given them through faith in his shed blood. Everything John describes in Revelation is already yours. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He'll lead them to springs of living water and wipe away every tear from their eyes. In Isaiah, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They'll obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. It's already yours. Yeah, don't enjoy it to the full yet, but you're an heir of that. Finally, the Good Shepherd says to you, his sheep, they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. In other words, since he knows you so intimately as his sheep, he will also, and you can be sure that he will keep you as his sheep. Even though your way through the barren wilds of this world to the heavenly sheepfold leads through many a dark valley, though there be those sorrows that you encounter, crosses the Lord in his wisdom calls on you to bear, though you may be tempted sometimes to wonder at times, but is it really so? I'm so weak. How will I be able to? Will I be able to endure to the end and finally be saved? And all those enemies that lurk that we fight against, the devil, that roaring lion, who wants to devour us and topple our faith, steal our Christian hope, the world with its adverse influence, our own sin natures. None of these foes, formidable though they are, shall be able to succeed because Christ, in whom we trust and whose word is our staff and stay, are far stronger. The Lord not only has the desire and the will to preserve us in the faith. As the Almighty Shepherd, he also has the power to do that for us. He says to you, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And that's why you can say the greatest of confidence with the Apostle Paul, "I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him until that day." So, Lord, grant that this word of your living shepherd may serve for your comfort in your daily walk of life for as long as you continue in the barren wilds of the world. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand." Amen. May the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy.